least what I want to talk to you about is the fact that your story counts. And I want to tell you how you use your story to change a life, okay? The third week, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually give you a coaching session on how to tell your story, what to say and what not to say, how not to say too much, how to stand, how to share, how to hone down your story. Let me give you an example. I was thinking about this on the way here. If you think of your life like a library, in our home, my husband has a beautiful library when you walk in our home. There is a theme of his library, and most of it's theology. Most of his books in our library are theology books, but every book has a different story to it. Does that make sense? So your life is like a library, but there is a theme in your life. Quick example, and I want to make sure we use our time wisely tonight, but I want to give you an example. I was sharing this today with our small group leaders. In one of your questions I'm going to ask you tonight, I say to you, Rachel D'Angelo experienced abandonment in chapter 1 and 2 of The Park. Has there been a time in your life that you ever experienced abandonment? All right? So I think back when I was in the third grade and my mom and dad took off in the zoo and went off somewhere and I literally felt abandoned. It was just that they had walked off, but I literally, if you ask me that question, that's my first memory of feeling abandoned. Now stay with me because this really gets good. I felt so abandoned by the where did they go and we found and everything else. Thank you so much, Erica. And then I ask another question in there about what was your best memory of elementary school? Immediately when you asked me that question, it goes back to being in the third grade with my school teacher, Mrs. King. Mrs. King was 4 foot wide by 4 foot tall. She was a little round thing, and I can literally remember, you know how you have memories in your life? I could hear clickety-click, clickety-click, clickety-click as she'd come down the hallway of my elementary school. I remember she would pull me into her bosom, which was quite large, and I felt so comfortable. But it's interesting because a part of what Ashley said tonight, I also remember starting to gain weight in the third grade. I can remember my mother beginning to worry about my weight, and she started packing my lunch a little bit different. She told me to get exercise. Tammy, go out and play. You need exercise. Those were messages that I didn't realize were affecting me. And I, too, went through a season of anorexia in my life. I think a lot of women do, right? If you ask me questions, I go back to seasons in my life, and they all seem to have the same theme and the same message. Acceptance. Fear. Abandonment. What we're going to do in week 3 when I teach you how to tell your story, you're going to realize all of these questions that I'm asking you. So tonight you're going to have like 4 questions in your small group. Although you're going to answer them in your small groups tonight, I want you to take that sheet home and I want you to write out the answers. Get alone by yourself. Go to a park. Sit in your car. Go in your bathroom and let everybody think you need to use it. Whatever you have to do. I used to hide in there. You know, mommy's in the bathroom and I was just trying to get away from everybody. All right? Whatever you have to do. But listen to me, take the time to answer these questions tonight, to answer the questions I give you in 2 weeks and in 2 weeks. So at the end of 5 weeks, when I'm teaching you how to tell your story, you will have already written part of your story by answering these questions. And I'm going to teach you that your story has a theme to it. Because you will, when you begin to tell your story and write your story, you want to be able to use a theme in your story. And I'll get more to that in week 3 with the tools. But I'll explain that to you. But if you stay with me for these 5 sessions, I promise you that you are going to know how to tell your story and publish your story at the end of our 5 weeks together. Does that make sense? So be here, be faithful, commit at least to this series of 5 sessions on how to tell your story. Invite your friends, and we'd love to have more people if you all want to invite some people to come. All right, tonight what I want to do is, you have your notes, everybody, one thing we always say around here, get your notes and get a pen. Because Holy Spirit will say some things to you tonight that you will want to go back and remember. Let me just kind of say this. Some of your story, there's going to be parts of your story that you're going to want to suppress. Some of your parts that are going to be embarrassing. Some that you said, I don't want people to know that. Would you at least do me a favor and be fair enough to write a little something down that you will go back and revisit that privately? Because the enemy wants to take your story from you. There is power in your story. There is freedom. You just heard this video. And what was it the women said? When I said this, I was set free. He wants to keep you crippled in your shame or crippled in your embarrassment or even just the fact, I don't think I have a story. So you have to believe you have a story, first of all, because he loves you. He gave you a story. I want you to, today when I was meditating, and I love to meditate, means that just for me means I open the Word of God and I read Scripture and I ponder it and I let it just ruminate in my mind and my heart and I meditate. So I don't give the New Age movement words like meditation, because the Bible talks about meditation, sweet meditation. And it just means that you take your mind and your soul and your spirit and you release it to the Holy Spirit to come in and minister to you. It's not about emptying your mind. It's about filling your mind with the things of God, all right? So I'm just tired of the enemy trying to take all the good stuff from us. So there's nothing wrong with sitting and meditating with God and meditating on Scripture. So I love this verse right here. It's in your notes. In Psalm 35, 28, it says, "My tongue will declare your righteousness and praise you all day long." Your tongue, that's your story. I'm going to speak it. I'm going to tell it. I'm going to embrace it. The psalmist says, "Girlfriend, let your tongue declare your righteousness and your praise all day long." I want you to be empowered about the words of your story. The psalmist could say this because he believed he had something to say. You have to start with the premise tonight. If all you do is say, "I don't know what my story is, but I know I have a story." That's all I want you to walk away with tonight. That's your first baby step. Walk out of here going, "I don't know my story yet, but I know I have a story." Your life is a journey of events and experiences that translate into a story. So the events of your life, the experiences of your life, the ups and downs and ins and outs, all the things of your life are what make your story. Here are reasons people, they believe they don't have a story. Number one, they say, "Oh, I have a boring life." That people tell me that, "Oh, Tammy, I live such a boring life. I don't have anything to say." Or they'll say to me, "I don't have any confidence. I'm nervous. I'm afraid to say anything. I don't really want anybody to know." And these are all the ways the enemy keeps us from telling our story. Or they'll say, "I really don't have anything worthwhile to say. I mean, I'm not a model in Milan. I've not produced The Bachelor. I don't have anything to say." Do you see how we'll start to get intimidated by somebody else's story? Because we think, "I don't have anything to say." Or they'll say, "I'm not a good storyteller." I hear people say, "Oh, Tammy, you're a good storyteller. I'm not a good storyteller. Therefore, you don't have a story? Oh, we're going to fix that, girlfriend." All right? "I'm not articulate. I stutter." Well, so did Moses, and God used him. All right, so I don't go there with that one. "I'm not articulate. I don't know how to say it." That's why you're here. We're going to work with you. Or, "I'm embarrassed, and I'm ashamed, and I don't want anyone to know this about me." The definition of story is, now listen, this is so good, an account of incidences or events that is unique to you. Have you ever had something happen in your life that's unique to you? If so, you have a story. It goes on to say life, and these are definitions, Webster's definition, life experiences that make us who we are. That's a definition of story, just right there. So because we all have had life experiences, we all have a story. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can everybody at least say that you have a pulse?
Amen.
All right? You know, you tripped on the way in. You know, you had a fight with your husband or wife or... No, we don't have any men in here. All right. Or whoever. Jordan was here. All right. I noticed we had a guy with us today. But there, all these experiences in your life are what make up your story. Story is, now let's just go. Story is not about a series of facts. It's a message about your life experience. And this will get in part of our coaching when I talk to you, because some of you, when you start to tell your story, you're going to want to rattle off facts. That's a boring story. I don't want that to be your case. I'm going to teach you how to tell your story with experiences and events in your life that you weave into a story, okay? You must believe these things. Let's walk through this. You have to believe that your story has value. One thing, the first thing I ever teach clients whenever I work with a client in coaching is, until you value yourself, no one else will value you. You're not going to get value out of anybody else if you don't even value you. You are a doormat. You will let people walk on you. You don't see any value yourself. You're mousy. You know, I don't believe in mousy women. You know, you rise up. We rise up. There is value in my story. My story will change a life. My story matters. My story counts. When I start to say it and speak it and believe it and walk it, I will tell it. Does that make sense? So all of this stuff the enemy is trying to confuse you with, you don't have anything to say, you live a boring life, you're embarrassed, those are lies of the enemy. Next, you must believe you have a message to share. So some of you will begin to say, listen, I kind of walk around your group, so I know some of you are going, I don't know. Yes, you do. Think. You do know. Embrace it. Say it. Think. Remember I said to you, our time together over this next couple weeks together, or for you to take this hour and a half and think about you. Value you. Think of your story. Think why you are on planet Earth for a reason, to impact a nation, to leave a legacy, to change a life. When you start thinking that way, and this is part of my coaching, so I'm kind of getting into that mode. When I work with clients, I'm just like, you know, I tell people all the time, I believed in you before you believed in you. I really do. There is so much in this room, potential and power and story. And when we get a hold of that, we will see lives changed. Next, you have to believe your story can make a difference. Know that others will be impacted by your story. So right now you're sitting there thinking, I don't know, what is my story? What is my story? And we'll get to that. But we have to start with you knowing you have a story. This is where it must all start, in your heart. Right here. See, this is, I love this, the definition of believe, I think I wrote that down. The definition of believe is to accept something as true, genuine, or real. So that's the definition of believe, all right? We have a scripture we use in the Word of God that as believers, we call ourselves believers as Christians. I believe in my heart the salvation message that Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross and he rose again. I believe that. It's a conviction. I don't believe it just here. Now, this is good. I don't just believe it here. I have believed it here. When you believe you have a story in your heart, you will start to tell your story. You may not know how to develop it yet, but you know it's there. Satan does not want you to think your story counts. He wants to bring shame, embarrassment, insecurity, fear, and belittlement. If he can get you to stay silent, he will make you feel small. You know, it's really hard, and sometimes when we begin to tell our story, I was sharing with someone the other day, and maybe I said this in our last series, that and some of our story, let me explain this, is generational. So there are some traits and behaviors that are passed down to us that I believe are what I call generational sin, okay, or generational habits or behavior. I had my grandma Lily was just, she was the most jealous little thing. I can remember her being so jealous. We'd go to church, and if another woman looked at my grandpa, she just, that the hen house was all, you know, just that's what. Now, I can see this. Grandma Lily's in heaven, and she knows what I'm saying right now. That, it was probably placed on her. But I will tell you, it was also placed on me. And I had this little spirit of jealousy. I mean, it's weird. It's not jealousy for other women, because I love champion other women. But there's an insecurity about me, you know, when I come to, like, a boyfriend. When I was, like, had my boyfriend. And I dated the same boy from my first date until I went away to college, all right? But if any other girl looked at Steve Kern, I'm telling you what, he was mine, and don't get near him. And I wondered why I was jealous, because I think it was a sense of insecurity in me. Does that make sense to you? And then that doesn't just leave because you get married. So then there's a sense of insecurity. My husband, Phil, was big man on campus. Everybody wanted to date him. You know, cowboy Phil from Denver, had a pickup truck, cute, smart. Every girl wanted him, all right? And I got him. And part of you, so many of you have heard my story, that girls used to say to me all the time, you're so lucky, he's so wonderful. I heard that from so many girls, and I believed that. I believed that lie, right? Because really, he was the lucky one. But anyway. Now, I want you to understand this, because this is, it's embarrassing for me to tell. And if I wasn't sharing this story, see how Satan wants me to be embarrassed by my story so I don't tell you. But I think what's going to happen is when I tell some of you, you're going to be set free and say, that's me. Right? So jealousy comes in, and because I was insecure in the first few years of our ministry, anybody that had a need in our church, and she was pretty, all six eyes came out. Now, I can say it in jest and have fun with it, but it was a spirit on me. And I would get hurt, and I would go home, and I didn't trust, and I was angry, and I wanted to know what was their problem. What did they need? Why did they come to me? Why didn't they ask me? Can you see this playing out? Do you see how it's embarrassing and the enemy wouldn't want me to share with you? But I guarantee you there's a sister in the house that needs to hear this. All right? So through years went on, and because I was so insecure for many years, jealousy got bigger and bigger and bigger, and it was a bigger divider in our marriage because I didn't understand confidence. And it wasn't until, there's a couple scriptures that set me apart. One, actually, is in 2 Corinthians, and it says, we are not confident in and of ourselves, for our confidence belongs to the Lord. And I'll never forget the day that that verse hit me. And the Holy Spirit said, baby girl, you can't ever have enough confidence in yourself. You can't be confident in a husband. You can't be confident in a best friend. You can't be confident in a job. Security and confidence and adequacy doesn't come in any of those things. It only comes in me. And then I began to work on me. And I met a dear friend that introduced me to what life coaching was. And I realized there were traits and behaviors in me that I had from a little girl. Because I always was a champion of people. I was always a little girl in the playground that go, you can do it. Come on, you can do it. Come on. Can't you see me with pigtails? You know, now listen, I've done this enough that I know through coaching and life mapping, I know who I am now. I know my traits, my identity, my gifts, my talents, my abilities. I've stepped into those and now I'm doing it with women in coaching. Now, guess what? I don't struggle with insecurity or inadequacy. Oh, every once in a while it creeps in. Every once in a while I got to feel, oh, wait a minute. And let me tell you what I do. And honestly, the jealousy thing has disappeared because we're both old and we're both lucky. But the enemy had me a lot of years. That's all I want to say. But when that old, my mother used to call it the green evil eye of jealousy, isn't that what it was? When it creeps itself up, I have to know those tendencies coming, and I have to be, wait a minute, Tammy, don't do this. So I literally will go into another room. I will walk out of the way. I get out of the way of the enemy to tempt me or discourage me. Know your weakness and run from it. Know your weakness and stay away from it. If it's drugs, if it's alcohol, if it's sex, if it's jealousy, if it's insecurity. The enemy knows how to trap you. Does that make sense to you? So once I am empowered by my story and tell my story, I've said it now. Now he can't get me with it. He hasn't bound me with it. I've spoke it. And now I'm not encaptured by it. Does that make sense? Or controlled by it. So Satan doesn't want you to think that your story counts. He wants to bring shame, embarrassment, insecurity, fear, and belittlement. Now listen, today this was so good. Revelation 12, 11. Write this verse down. Revelation 12, 11. Many of you know it already, but I want to break it down in three areas for our study. It tells us in Revelation 12, 11, they triumphed, or you might have a translation that said, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives unto death. Let me explain what that means. They being those in the end times who overcame the enemy. See, Satan wants to rob, steal, and destroy. He wants to shrink you. He wants you to feel belittled and embarrassed and ashamed and blame and guilty. They, the believers, overcame the enemy. Listen, by the blood of the Lamb. Write this down. That's what Jesus did for you. By the blood of the Lamb, that's what Jesus did for you. By the word of their testimony, that's what you do for others in your testimony. By the word of their testimony, that's what you do for others. And listen, and they did not love their lives so much as to death. That's what you do for you. Did you follow that? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's what Jesus did for you. That's what we celebrated yesterday. That's Easter. He came off that cross and the veil was torn, so you have access to the Father. Your story is events and circumstances and hard times and good times and victories. That's your story. And he gave you story. So it's what he did for you, what you do for others. Every time you tell somebody your story, you empower somebody. When we just listened to those five women share their story, didn't you feel empowered?
I felt empowered. Ashley grabbed my hand and she was like, okay, I can do this. Because somebody else told their story. See? So it's for you to tell others. And then also for you to not shrink back in embarrassment. It's for you to empower others and for you. I want to give you a couple of scripture verses I think are so good. In Acts 4:20, the scripture says, as for us, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Look, when all God gets in you and you get excited about the things of God, you want to tell people your story. I want to tell you where I was and now where I am. I want to tell you where the enemy tried to take me, but where Jesus is taking me. I want to tell you about victory and joy and happiness. I want to walk every day with a story and with life. And that's what they said in Acts. When we heard about it, how could we not talk about it? What are you talking about? I am not a stinking thinking kind of person. I had the privilege of being on the platform once with Zig Ziglar. I love him. What an amazing man. And he always used to talk about stinking thinking. And it helped me so much understand I only get so many thoughts a day, and I don't want them stinking thoughts. So I have to take every thought captive by renewing my mind, choosing. I'm not going down that road. I won't think about, look, Satan, remember I talked to Satan, the Bible says it's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he, oh, there's the weak one. I'm going to go get her. There, she just had a fight with her husband. Let me go over there and tell him what a scoundrel he is. Her kids are having trouble with body image. Let me go tell him. Da, da, da. Do you see how he does that? And if I don't immediately know how his attacks come, look, we're in spiritual warfare, whether you realize it or not. And Almighty God has given me all the weapons. I know how to do battle. I say to Satan, get thee behind me. I don't want to look at your ugly face. Get thee behind me. I want to look at his face. And when I look at his face, I know I have a story that makes a difference. Does that make sense? We're going to go on. Look at this verse in 1 John 1:1. In that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes. This is your story. Which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have gazed upon and touched with our own hands. This is the word of God. You guys, this is the word of God. It's filled with story. Why was it that God used the word of God, his breath, his word, the Bible, and he filled it with story? Because he wants you to tell his story, because it's history. It's history. History is his story. And when you start talking about what God does in your life, it's his story in you. Does that make sense? His story will always have a part of your life. In Jeremiah 20, verse 9, it says, but I say, I will not remember him or speak anymore in his name. So he says, I'm not even going to talk about him anymore. And then look what it says. Then in my heart, it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary of holding it in. I cannot endure it. Listen, guys, your story is so heavy upon your heart, you have to get it out. There is something about your story that's going to change a life. I put this quote again, I love it, by Maya Angelou, and she says this, there is no greater agony. Same thing as what Jeremiah said in verse 20, chapter 20, verse 9. There is no greater agony than burying an unknown story inside of you. You might say, Tammy, I really don't have all that much to say. You just don't know yet what you have to say. It could be one little thing in your life that could change the life of another person forever. One last verse I want you to see in Luke 8:39. Return home and tell how much God has done for you. What had happened was Jesus has healed this man. And then he said, what do I do now, Jesus? And Jesus says, return home and tell how much God has done for you. If that isn't saying it bluntly, ladies, didn't he just say, go tell everybody what I've done for you? Your story is my story in you. Your story is what I've done for you, how I've changed your life, how I've given you purpose and meaning, how I walk with you, how I give you joy. That's your story. Have you had heartaches? Yeah. Have you had shame? Are you a victim of this and that? Absolutely. Everyone has been victimized at some place in their life because we are human beings. You have been hurt. You have been betrayed. You have been lied to. You have trouble with trust. Join the planet Earth, because that's what we do to one another. We really do. But when you step out of the shame and the blame and you stop the stinking thinking and you start talking about the power of woman, because here's something we say all the time, right? What I say, I see. And whatever's coming out of my mouth is a self-fulfilling prophecy of my life. So I want to teach you how to speak life into your story. Let me give you a few coaching tips that I think might help you. First of all, you have to stop thinking that your story isn't worth telling. How many of you right now, honestly, I'd love to see your hand, think to yourself, I don't know if I really have that great of a story. Anybody in here? Okay, there's some hands in here. All right? And do you see how the enemy wants to tell you that? I mean, okay, I can tell you, I have lived a really pretty good life. Grew up in a Christian home, Christian parents, dated the preacher's son, you know, stayed pure, went to a Baptist college, then married a preacher. Boring. I mean, seriously, you know, had some kids, been in ministry. I literally could give you the boring version of my life. And that's really the truth. Because I haven't had a lot of trauma experiences. But then again, maybe I have. Because now as I've started looking at my story, I have been lied to and abandoned and hurt. And I've asked God why things have happened to me that have happened to me. And I lost a daughter-in-law. And my kids went through difficulty being preacher's kids. And life maybe isn't as good as I thought it was. And I'm not telling you I want you to look at the bad. I'm telling you I want you to look at your story. Because now I realize where I can relate to people. I realize how I can empower women. And that's where I want you to start to look at your story. So first of all, stop thinking that your story isn't worth telling. Satan wants you to think you have nothing to say. Here, I gave you the verse here, John 10:10. The thief, which is Satan, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. So I want to teach you how to take maybe a traumatic experience that you had in your life and how God used that for good. There's a verse in the Bible we love to talk about. What Satan meant for evil, God caused for good and used for good. That's what we want your story to be. I love this this quote right here. I think is so good. The shortest distance between two people is a story. Isn't that so good? The shortest distance between two people is a story. Number two, don't worry about what people think. The problem with beginning to tell our story is we start to assess the room and we wonder what everybody's thinking about us. This is also one of the biggest problems in presentation skills. When you start to get up and talk to someone, you start looking at the audience and you start thinking, what are they thinking? They're all looking, are my jeans too tight? Should I pull up my shoulders? Do people think the preacher's wife shouldn't wear a shirt like this? You know, do you see? I am assessing what all of you are thinking right now instead of trying to tell you my story. Do you see what I'm saying here? Don't ever get sidetracked with what you're trying to say. The enemy will try to confuse you and get you off track. Tell your story. I wrote this, I was praying the other day, and this just came to me because I was walking through the park. And I love to do that because a lot of times the Lord will say something to me and I put it in my voice memo. And here's what I wrote. Tell your story for those that need to hear it, not for those who don't. See, I told my story tonight on growing up with Grandma Lily's generational jealousy. And some of you giggled and thought it was cute. And some of you said, that's my story. So tell your story for those who need to hear it, not for those who don't. Don't worry about the people that don't need to hear your story. There will always be someone who does. Does that make sense? And your story will not always impact everyone in the room, but your story will impact someone in the room. And when you begin to look at it that way, you're going to walk in empowerment. Remember, this is a process. You must love yourself before you can love your story. Did you hear me? You have to love yourself before you can love your story. Some of you don't love yourself in this room. And I know that just because statistically that's true. Some of you struggle like Ashley or myself at times with body image. You struggle with embarrassment. You struggle with, I don't want someone to know. You will never tell your story until you love yourself. And the first step is embracing yourself. What you believe will determine your outcome. If you don't think you have anything to say, you will never say anything. I like to say, I have something to say. I may not know how to say it, but I believe I have something coming. I wrote this down in your notes. I think you have it. If you believe you have something to say, you will create something to say. You simply must start by believing you have a story inside of you. Some of you are going to be surprised over the next few weeks together when we start to really drill deep into the tools of telling your story, because some of you have hidden parts of your life that you don't even know exist. When I work with clients in coaching, sometimes this is a difficult process because memories are going to come up that you thought you'd forgotten about that are actually going to be a part of your story. So as much as this is a wonderful exercise of release, there will also be a part of this exercise that is difficult to you. Does that make sense? And those things we deal with and we process and then we release, but they're part of your story. I love this quote by Stone Evans. It says, stop being so impressed with what other people are doing and get impressed about yourself. You have a story that the world wants to hear. Go and tell it. Isn't that good? We're so impressed with Ashley's story. What about your story? There's something you have to say. If all I do tonight is empower you to believe you have a story, then we've taken our first step. Did that make sense? Well, your assignment, besides doing your next three chapters and being in your small group, is the next 2 weeks say, there is a story inside of me waiting to be told. There is a story inside of me waiting to be told. And in a few weeks together, by the time we're in June, you're going to be going, boy, do I have a story. All right? Let me pray over you. If you're new tonight, we want to put you in a small group. We'll assign you to a small group. But I want you to get right to your small groups as quickly as you can tonight and go over the discussion questions. Remember, write them down, because the answers to these questions will be part of you telling your story. Okay? Father, I thank you. I thank you for this baby step we've taken tonight in just decreeing that we have a story. When I sit down and begin to tell my story, it's because of all of the events and circumstances in my life that have led me up to this point. God, I know that my story sets people free. I know that I embrace the truth of God, and I will not let the enemy keep me silent. I'm not ashamed of my story. I am empowered by my story. I'm not embarrassed by my story. I am freed by my story. So, Father, whatever has happened in the lives of women, may we embrace our story, hold on to our story, speak our story, and change lives through our story. Thank you for every small group leader and every woman in this room. Cover them with your blessing and your favor. In Jesus' name, amen.